talent, our mates will wait, oh, throw a no-no.
Wow, what a big show this is going to be. Much bigger than Friday. I'm glad I missed Friday. I was thinking about working Friday and taking off Monday. But instead, I let you guys do a whatever Friday show. Nobody even cares about Friday anymore. It's all about Monday. We got big-time prospects coming up. We got bullpen craziness, of course. We got ads. We got drops. We got two-star pitchers. And we got some ham. It's Heath and Adam. Team Ham. What's up, Heath?
We're going ham. I think that's how the kids say it. It was an awesome weekend of baseball. And we have several names on the, like, I wrote waiver wire this morning before the show, and there's a lot of question marks. It's really fun. I like, sometimes you write waiver wire and it's like, yes, you must obviously add this guy, and yawn. And sometimes you're just searching for guys and I don't even know if you should really add this guy or not. But today it was like, yeah, there are certain circumstances where this guy could be huge and he may not matter at all. And those are the most fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like David Dahl and Walker Buehler, I think are probably the best examples of that. Actually, so I just want to see who's here real quick. Kind of a new initiative. The boss has told me I have to take roll every day. So, Cummings, you here?
Here.
Okay. White. No, he's not here. Okay. How about,
Buehler? Buehler.
Well
Buehler.
Done.
Thank you.
Buehler.
Walker Buehler is here.
Buehler.
Walker Buehler is here.
That would For now.
He's starting tonight for the Dodgers. So we will talk about that. I think that we have to lead off the show with Sean Manaea threw a no-hitter. And by the way, I can't believe I haven't gotten my voice back. I'm sorry, everybody. I lost to Las Vegas this weekend without drinking or doing anything bad. And I still just lost.
Wait. Drinking's not bad.
Well, that's not bad. But there are other things that are bad that you could do in Vegas. I didn't do any of it.
Could you list some of them?
I mean, well, I went. I was at. No, I can't. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it was a very tame weekend with a lot of married guys for a bachelor party. But it was loud. You know, like everywhere we went was loud. So I was just screaming a lot, I guess, and I'm working on it. But I didn't see until the following morning, Sean Manaea threw a no-hitter and 2 walks, 10 strikeouts against the Red Sox, and he is awesome. And he was started in 53% of leagues. So that stinks. But he's 3-2 with a 1.23 ERA. And how many strikeouts does he have? Like 30 in 36 innings, something like that? This hasn't been a huge strikeout guy in his career. He was in this game. But what's your take on Sean Manaea? How good is he? And also, I do have to bring up the worst email of all time in a moment.
Yeah, it probably is very similar to the worst tweet of all time from Chris Towers over the weekend. Listen, Manaea was awesome. This was a great pitching performance. Looking at his season on a whole, he was one of our sell highs. And he may have been mine. He may have been Scott's. I don't remember whose sell high he was, but he was one of our sell highs.
He was yours, right up there with my Johnny Cueto pick so far.
No, Johnny Cueto is awesome. Sean Manaea is fine. I feel confident, more confident, that he's going to have an ERA below 4 than I did coming into the year. I don't think there's really much chance at all the way he's pitching he's going to have an ERA below 3. So he's going to slot into that anywhere between starting pitcher 30 and starting pitcher 50 range. There are still plenty of reasons to expect regression to come. If you sold high on him, I know we got a couple of tweets. I sold high on Sean Manaea. Oh, no. It's okay. He has a 135 BABIP allowed. He's still stranded every single runner that's reached base. A 100% strand rate. Neither of those things are going to last. You go look at his FIPs 351. His XFIP, 3.59. His Sierra, 3.48. You expect him to have about a 3.5 ERA the rest of the way.
Okay. And that's Sean Manaea. And I'll just remind everyone, the last person to throw a no-hitter was Edinson Volquez. So these things are fun. They don't necessarily matter more than just one great start. But there was an article that you might want to read on CBSSports.com. I think it's still right on the MLB page that Sean Manaea was breaking out even before the no-hitter. So you can get a different perspective from a non-fantasy angle on Sean Manaea. But he does have 30 strikeouts and 36 and two-thirds.
There is room between what Sean Manaea has been in his career, breaking out from that, and not being this.
Right.
He was a career, 4-1, 4-2 ERA guy with less than 8 Ks per 9. that's not an exciting fantasy pitcher. He could become a pretty close to must start guy and still have a ton of regression coming.
Okay. There was a quote that I heard on Friday that is now our quote of the day. And this was obviously not Scott's fault, but it is from Scott White. And he said, quote, "Nobody exciting has gotten called up yet," end quote. And then he started talking about Mack Williamson, Williamson being the most excited call up. Things have changed in a hurry. Gleyber Torres is up. He's 84% owned. Yankees shortstop. He's not going to play shortstop, but he's shortstop eligible. He'll probably be second base and maybe third base eligible at some point. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers, he's 47% owned, and he's going to start tonight against Miami. Starter sit Walker Buehler tonight.
This is maybe the most difficult waiver wire and lineup decision that I've had this year. I did pick up Walker Buehler in a couple of different leagues. He is RP eligible. This start is everything for this week because he faces the Marlins. Fantastic matchup. He's an awesome strikeout pitcher. He was terrible in 9 innings last year. Who cares? If he's good in this matchup, he's a two-start pitcher this week because they have a doubleheader on Saturday. If he's just okay, he's a two-start pitcher, and it's against the Giants in San Francisco. I'm starting him in two different leagues.
But even if he's a one-star pitcher against the Marlins, I mean, I'm a little hesitant with major league debuts. I feel like...
Well, it's not his major league debut.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
He was awful last year.
All right. Well, that helps. Like, I think guys get a little nervous in their major league debuts.
I agree for most pitchers that even if he's a one-star pitcher against the Marlins, he could be very good. The problem is that like he's got a ceiling of throwing 7 shutout innings with 10 strikeouts against the Marlins and then being great against the Giants too. He's got a floor of not getting out of the second inning today because he walks everybody.
Well, they don't call him Walker Buehler for nothing.
Exactly.
So who would you be more excited to pick up, Walker Buehler or Jack Flaherty? Buehler 47% owned, Flaherty 67% owned, and he could start on Saturday as Adam Wainwright is on the DL.
I would still say Flaherty because I see a faster path to long-term viability. I don't think even if Walker Buehler pitches well Monday and pitches well Saturday, I don't think there's any question he's going back to the minors unless somebody else gets hurt, and maybe to somebody else's. So right. Jack Flaherty just needs the Cardinals to give up on the idea of Adam Wainwright being a major league pitcher. Or Wainwright not being able to stay healthy. I'll take Flaherty.
So, again, Walker Buehler, 47% owned, and Rich Hill could be back this weekend. And Adam Wainwright, elbow inflammation, don't know the timetable there. But are either of these guys like must-own? You got to get them right now.
I think Flaherty is. We turned down, we had somebody mocking us in the For the People League, which we went 8-0-2 in this week and now sit in first place.
Hey.
We had somebody mocking us because they'd offered us 2 weeks ago, I think, Nick Pivetta for Jack Flaherty, and we'd turned it down. And of course, Pivetta's been awesome, and Flaherty's been in the minors. I would still rather have Flaherty than Pivetta.
Okay. Adam Wainwright, yeah, so like I said, elbow inflammation, whereas Rich Hill's on his way back. We don't know how long it'll be for Wainwright, and he's, you know, he's not good. Someone in my league picked up Atlanta starting pitcher Mike Soroka. And I'm not sure what that's about, but he is, you know, Soroka had not been a big strikeout guy in the minors until this year, but so far he has 2 walks, 20 strikeouts, and 15 2/3. Is there news on him?
I've heard rumors, rumblings on him as of, and I'm Googling right now to make sure there's not like news this morning on him. I think so far it's just rumors and rumblings.
Okay. Well, all right. So he's not very owned. Mike Soroka, you can take a look at him for the Braves. The Rockies promoted David Dahl, and one thing to keep in mind, Gerardo Parra is currently suspended. He's serving his suspension. And I mentioned this earlier in the week. You guys kind of talked about it on Friday. Like, everything is going right for David Dahl because nobody is hitting well for the Rockies. Like, they could easily play David Dahl every day. But it's very really not clear that they will, Heath, and he's 49% owned. I'm going to start him in a 5 outfielder league. I don't have any other options, but I'm a little bit nervous because I don't know what the playing time will be for Dahl, but what do you think?
Dahl fits right in with Walker Buehler on the, man, this guy could be awesome, but I'm not sure it's going to matter. I had him at the bottom of the waiver wire today. If I knew that they plan on playing him every day, or even if they hadn't done what they've done with Ryan McMahon over the first 3 weeks of the season, he'd have probably been at the top. He's a guy that had an 859 OPS and 237 plate appearances in 2016. He's suffered through a lot of injuries, but if he was playing every day, he'd be must-start in 5 outfielder and maybe 3 outfielder too.
All right, so get David Dahl, everybody. Even if he's even if you just have to stash him for now. And then two guys, Heath, that are owned in fewer leagues. 15% owned Mack Williamson, who did homer on Friday. He went 3-for-11 over the weekend with no walks and three strikeouts. And Lourdes Gurriel, Yuli's younger brother. Yuli said Lourdes is even better than Yuli is. And Toronto called him up, and he's going to play in the infield a little bit. Williamson is 15% owned. Gurriel is 12% owned. Do you want those prospects?
Williamson's interesting, especially in a roto league, because he fits best in that format, and it's the format where you probably need five outfielders. I'm not really sure about Gurriel. I definitely think he should be owned in AL-only leagues. He should definitely be owned in dynasty/keeper leagues, but I know in a regular 12-team points league, I can't see adding him.
Scott White, tell me what you think about the worst email of all time. All right?
Okay.
Oh, let's get Scott's microphone on over there. Scott White, let's hear it again.
Hey,
oh,
Adam.
Much better, Scott White. All right, we got an email from Chris Towers, and he said, team name Monday, sung to the tune of Macarena. Hey, Sean Manaya.
Yeah, Chris is not our resident team name expert. Not that I am. But I know I'm not good at team names. So
yeah, that's
don't
a
try.
That's just
I
an
mean,
awful
it's
one.
Really difficult for anybody on the podcast to be the team name expert after the whole Yasmani Money Tomas problems thing. It's just been engraved in stone.
I think we're just not the go-to podcast for teams. I don't know why we have a Team Name Tuesday on this podcast, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's Team Name Tuesday. Where else are you going
to
hear it on another
I guess
podcast?
We have to crowdsource our team names.
All right, guys, I want to hear about who you added and dropped. Scott, if we could just wrap it up. Other than Gleyber Torres, who's 84% owned, out of Walker Buehler, Jack Flaherty, and David Dahl, who's the most addable right now?
I would say David Dahl, but I don't have a lot of confidence that any of them is sticking around for the long haul. It's just, you know, it's always the case with these big prospect call-ups. Cody Bellinger, last April, the fear was, oh, this is only going to be while whoever, it was, I don't even remember who it was, but this guy was supposed to be on DL for the minimum. It may have been him. I can't remember if it was him or an outfielder. But the guy was supposed to be on the DL for the minimum, and they were like, yeah, we'll send it back down after that. And then obviously he stuck around forever. And that is always a possibility. From what I understand, Walker Buehler is going to make one, maybe two starts, and only gets that second start because of a doubleheader Saturday. Jack Flaherty may not even come up at all. And if he does, it'll probably just be for one start. David Dahl has to perform, I think, to stick around. But there's the clearest opening there, I think.
I agree that Dahl has to perform to stick around. I'm a little more optimistic on Flaherty. I do think, like, Wainwright's got an elbow thing that they don't think is that serious, but it's an elbow, and he's like 172 years old, and he's not any good anyway. So I kind of feel like if Flaherty comes up Saturday and gives another good outing, like, we may just see a six-man rotation until Wainwright sucks two more times, and then Flaherty's in the rotation.
So look, guys, this is a really big show. We had so much going on over the weekend. We got to talk about Tyson Ross, guys like that. Julio Teheran had another good start. I think Mike Minor might be pretty underowned. So we got to talk about those guys. Let's wrap up the prospects with Gleyber Torres. You know, it's kind of interesting as Aaron Boone sort of said, and I guess you could look at the numbers and also make this conclusion that I think he kind of said that there's not one thing that he really stands out in. And from a fantasy perspective, that might be true. I don't know what you're going to get from Gleyber Torres. You might just get a good all-around player. And you might not get any. He's so young, you might get a bad player. I don't know. But do you think he's an everyday player for the Yankees? Do you think he's a must-own? He might be a little over-owned, honestly, at 84%. I'm not sure how I feel about Gleyber Torres.
The plan is for him to be their full-time second baseman. Obviously, he has to play well to retain that job, but that's, you know, their stated intentions for him are much are long term, and they called him up in planning he'd stick around. Now, I feel like the upside, I've said it before, I feel like the upside is similar to Carlos Correa. I think he was, you look at the way Carlos Correa's minor league career unfolded, you know, as he moved up the ladder, the plate discipline and power kept improving. And obviously it was at its best once he reached the majors. And I feel like Gleyber Torres, as highly regarded as he's been for as long as he's been, and the way the numbers have trended in the minors, there's the hope that he's that good. He may not be, and he may not be right away, but it's, you know, with, you're not going to win the lottery if you don't buy the ticket.
I think there's a good chance that Gleyber Torres is not that good, but I agree with Scott that he should be almost universally owned just for the opportunity. And just real quick, because we're not going to probably have a lot of time to talk about him, there's another Yankees rookie that's just absolutely mashing right now.
We have
Miguel
to talk
Andujar,
about him.
Seven doubles, two home runs, and a triple in his last six games. He had 54 extra base hits last year in 125 games. I don't think he's going anywhere. And he's 53% owned?
Yeah.
54% owned? So, yeah. Let Torres... Like, Torres is a better prospect. There's no question. But part of that's because he's a shortstop also. Don't let Andujar be overshadowed.
Yeah, Andujar... It's actually Andujar he wants to be called. So we have to work on that. Yeah, Andujar. Batting 308 right now. And like Heath said, his last...
That's ridiculous.
That's what he is, Dan Duhar. 13 for 24, as Heath mentioned. Two homers, seven doubles in his last six games. That's amazing. So, yeah, like, he's interesting. Brandon Belt homered in four straight games. We got a lot to get to. One thing that I know is not going anywhere, not being sent down. And, by the way, you do have to keep an eye on what the Yankees do with Brandon Drury when he comes back. I think they're fairly invested in him, so there will be a little bit of an infield logjam. And Neil Walker, too. I mean, it's just, we'll see. ZipRecruiter's not going anywhere, guys. Because if you're hiring, you need great people for your business. You need a better way to find them. ZipRecruiter is that way to find them. This is much better than just posting your job online, sitting there and hoping and praying that the right people get back to you. ZipRecruiter will go out and find the right people for you. And the URL that you should go to if you want to try it for free is ZipRecruiter.com/strike. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. You can try it for free. This is the smartest way to hire. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And I think one thing that separates ZipRecruiter, they spotlight the strongest applications you receive. You never miss a great match. It's really important not just to find people, but to find the right people, and that's kind of what ZipRecruiter specializes in. It knows what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites those people to apply to your job. So the right candidates are out there, everybody. If you're looking to hire, use ZipRecruiter. Big business, small business, does not matter. Our listeners can try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. That is ZipRecruiter.com/strike. One more time. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, let's do ads and drops. I added 5 to 10 pounds and lost my voice and two Major League Baseball bets in Vegas. That was the highlight of my weekend. I forgot that the Twins have Fernando Rodney. So I bet on them. I completely forgot they have Fernando Rodney, and he cost me Friday's bet. But for you guys, what were your interesting fantasy baseball transactions?
We have talked about a lot of them already. Okay. I did pick up Andujar in one league. I was able to pick up Dahl in one league. I picked up Walker Buehler in a couple leagues where I'm going to start him this week. Knowing, and again, I want to be clear, I don't think you should drop anybody that is a long-term contributor to your team, because I don't think Buehler will be. But I do think he should be a good option for this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I picked up Tyson Ross everywhere he was still available.
I did get him in one league, too.
May have been two leagues.
Yeah, this is exciting. He's now 52% owned. He had 10 strikeouts.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to face the Dodgers this week and then have two starts, or last week, have two starts this week with one of them being at Colorado. He pitched on Friday instead of Wednesday. I think they had an off day Thursday. I don't know that I would have started him at Arizona anyway. I'm not sure I trusted him at that point, but he threw 127 pitches. That's a little worrisome.
Yeah. Before Manaea was completing no-hitters, mm-hmm. Tyson Ross was trying to, and there was a lot of pitches there. But, I mean, even though he didn't pull off the no-hitter, the bigger takeaway is that he looks like he's basically back. He's getting a ton of swing and misses on his slider. 15, I think, in this start after 14 last start, had 10 strikeouts in 7 2/3 innings. He's actually not throwing as hard as he did before thoracic outlet surgery, but from what I read, that's by design. He's trying to command his pitchers better, and it seems to be working for him. So, yeah, I think he's must own right now, and he's still close to 50% available.
Yeah, Tyson Ross. Who would you be more excited to add right now? And Ryu is more owned, but Ryu or Ross?
Ryu.
I would rather own Ross.
Keep in mind, Ross is at Colorado. Russ at Colorado this week, so you're not starting him this week. Probably.
No, probably not.
Yeah. All right, so Ross for Scott, Ryu for Heath. Ryu or Tehran? They're both 78, 76% owned, right around there.
Ryu.
Yeah, I'd say Ryu there.
Okay. What do you think about Mike Minor? Is he under-owned? He's 44% owned.
Yes.
Yeah, I still don't know that I'd like to know what percentage of our leagues are points leagues, but that's...
I don't know that it matters at this point. He's been a little inefficient, so he hasn't been piling up quality starts here, but the starts have been quality other than one. He had 18 swinging strikes in 5 1/3 innings this start over the weekend, and what I like most about it was how they were distributed among different pitches. 7 on a fastball, 6 on a slider, 5 on his curve. He's not just like this one gimmick pitch guy. He looks like a really strong pitcher.
And so this is Mike Minor we're talking about. And he's already faced Houston twice, I think. So that is, you know, that's kind of why I think his numbers are down a little bit. Maybe, in my opinion. So Minor, Tyson Ross. I got to tell you, man, like, we got the fringy starting pitchers. And there are just so many guys that I think could be owned in more leagues. Like Miles Michaelis, I think, could be owned in more leagues. Sean Newcomb is 68% owned. You know, he does walk guys, but he's got a lot of upside. We'll get to all that, I think. I definitely got to make time for it. But a lot of really interesting pitchers that I want out there. So, you know, don't own the bad ones. That's my advice. Find the bad ones and get them off your team. And pick up the good ones, guys. That's what I would say. I don't know how about you. That's how I feel, though. I added Jamer Candelario because he's in Scott's sleeper hitters column. And I thought I might need a third baseman with Chris Bryant, but I think Bryant should probably be okay. But Candelario's looking good, and I dropped Ian Happ. Uy. I didn't feel great about it. But, like, what do you do? Like, can we drop Ian Happ right now? I'm 1-2. I feel like I don't want to go 1-3.
I obviously have, like, most of the Ian Happ ownership with my teams, and I've dropped him in one league.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of Ian Happ. I mean, I guess maybe Scooter Jeanette's my Ian Happ, but I haven't dropped him anywhere yet, so I guess I can understand that. But there, other than my like NL and AL only leagues, I don't feel like there's any roster out there for me where I have expendable players. You know, like, it's always a tough call who I'm going to drop. Mm-hmm. And when there's a less than full timer who's stinking up the joint, I don't know. It seems pretty easy to do to me.
Well, I'll tell you another guy I added that might have been a big mistake was Bud Norris. I just want some damn saves, even if it's just for 1 week. But yesterday, Norris pitched the 8th, and Holland pitched the 9th, and it wasn't a save situation.
Right. I think that's a bad sign because Holland did well. I don't know that he's got it yet, though. That was a 7-run game.
Yeah.
I kind of think maybe that it was just like, hey, let's try to do this one time when it won't cost us the game.
But why did they pitch Norris in the 8th?
I think eventually that's where he'll be.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be this week. You know, I don't want to get burned by having a setup man in my lineup, right. So I might have to.
Right. Matheny said they're not quite ready to go to it yet, but they could be on Wednesday, you know? And so. Right.
I would say the next save opportunity is Norris's, but after that, I don't feel confident.
And
he'll get you one save this week.
You know, for me, it's going to come down, like, it's going to be Ken Giles or Bud Norris, and I don't even know what to do there. Because it doesn't look like Ken Giles is definitely the closer right now. He pitched on Friday and Sunday in non-save situations. He pitched well. But also, I wanted to say, I think that Mike Minor is facing Oakland this week, and they have been really bad against lefties. So he'll be a reliever for me in that same league. But forget about me. I just think that it could help anybody out there with Mike Minor. All right, your news and notes. Are we starting Chris Bryant?
Yes.
I think he's fine.
Okay. Salvador Perez should be back soon. Xander Bogaerts could be back Friday. Here's a guy that should be owned in every categories league probably, and even points leagues. Keep an eye on Delino DeShields. He's going to lead off. He's going to steal bases. He's 53% owned. He gets on base. He's back.
Back after 3 weeks.
Yeah, quick, man.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani scheduled to pitch Tuesday at Houston. Start or sit Ohtani this week?
I'm going to start him. I understand why you want to. Might not want to, but I'm going to.
I do not have to make that decision because I don't have any Shohei Ohtani, unfortunately. I would be very hesitant. Like, I would start Walker Buehler over him.
Okay. You know, it's partially the blister and partially the matchup, right?
Both, yes. Yeah. There's a chance he goes not a great one, but there's a chance he goes three batters and it's like, oh crap.
I think if he were totally healthy, we would have no problem with him facing any matchup. So, but you know, it's kind of tricky. Tommy Pham, day to day with a groin injury, start or sit, Tommy Pham.
Yeah, as much as he sat over the weekend, I'd probably sit him. Five outfielder leagues, you know, you could probably gamble a little more, especially if it's roto. But in head-to-head, I think it's too risky.
Yeah, no way I'm starting him in a three outfielder league.
D. Gordon has a sore foot, but he pinch hit yesterday, so he's probably fine. Matt Harvey's in the bullpen. See ya. And
he is not happy about it.
And he shouldn't be. That's fine. I mean, it was the right decision. But
get angry, Matt.
But Zach Wheeler is another pitcher. 59% owned. It's a yeah. lot of guys I want to take a shot on right
and,
now.
And suddenly he's a two-star pitcher because of the rainout Sunday. He was a two-star pitcher last week, and
yeah.
that didn't pan out, obviously. But he is again now.
At St. Louis and at San Diego. Not bad.
Right. Probably needs to be more than 59% owned just because of that. Having said that, I'd rather own most of the pitchers you've mentioned as part of this. Michaelis, Tyson Ross, Ryu.
See, I think that Wheeler one's really interesting if you go back to the Shohei Ohtani owner. Because you got Wheeler against the Padres and the Cardinals. Fine. Whatever. I think I'd rather start Wheeler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's safer. Zach Britton threw off a half mound. He hopes to return in late May. I didn't know what a half mound was. Jake
I made
Lamb,
that joke on Friday and it bombed, so don't try it.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay, good to know. Jake Lamb will be shut down for a couple of days due to elbow tendonitis. Hunter Renfroe is on the DL. Manuel Margot is back, though, for the Padres. Franchi Cordero's actually been hitting pretty well. But do you think Franchi sits against lefties? He's only 20% owned. The way he's played right now, do you think Franchi deserves to be owned in more than 20% of leagues? Or will he sit against lefties or both or what?
Yeah. Is he hitting well?
Yeah.
He's not.
Because he's hitting .243. I mean, he hits the ball really hard. But
yeah,
he's
got
terrible.
3 home runs in 10 games and 2 steals.
And he's terrible plate discipline. Like, I think, and I don't know exactly what Michael Taylor's hard contact percentages look like, but I think Cordero probably profiles as a similar player to him. He actually hit the longest home run of the season so far this weekend at Chase Field with the humidor. But
I just think that
nonetheless, it only counted as one home run.
10 games, 2 steals. I mean, 20% owned. Like, would you rather own Malik Smith or Franchi Cordero?
Malik for sure.
For sure. Okay. Well, playing time could definitely be an issue for Cordero, so we'll keep an eye on it.
He is a very hip player right now. A lot of people getting a lot of buzz. We're just not part of that.
We're not hip to that.
We're not part of that.
We're not the podcast for team names, and we're not the podcast for Franchi.
Like, Franchi is Las Vegas, and Scott and I are Adam Azer, and we are just not partaking in any of it.
I partook, and I was the boring one. I was there. I was there for all the activities.
You showed up.
Very, very mature adult trip, I will say. There was nothing scandalous. Major League Baseball had its 26th postponement due to weather in April, the most in April since that stat began being tracked in 1986, whatever. And Anthony Rendon is on the DL with a toe injury. You probably will get him back next week. So we've got the most added list to talk about. Let's take a quick look at the bullpen, because one of the guys I dropped, Brad Brock, for Bud Norris. I don't know what the hell's going on with Brad Brock. Darren O'Day got a save on Friday.
Yeah.
Brock was available, and then he pitched yesterday in a non-save situation, and he was terrible.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and predict that Brad Brock's going to get a save in their next opportunity.
Yeah, that's probably. Probably.
Reason why you're predicting that? Just because.
I don't think he's lost the job. I think it was just, there's too many bullpens, right? Like, we are very fond of saying nobody really sticks with the committee. It always works out to where one guy gets saves, and that's always been true. This year, that doesn't look true.
Yeah, it might not be. I'm just going to name, do you see any changes potentially being made in Detroit, Texas, or Minnesota? No, right?
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, Addison Reed was awful last night, right?
Yes.
Or yesterday?
Yes, he was.
So that would have been the one I would have been most excited about. I don't think the Rangers have a good closer. I don't think the Tigers have anywhere close to a better option. So
Joe Jimenez is somebody to keep an eye on in the Tigers bullpen. He's been billed as a closer of the future since he was in the minors, and he's off to a good start. Strikeouts have been kind of low, but they're not supposed to be. And, you know, it could happen if Shane Green continues to struggle.
All right. Brewers bullpen. I'm just going to, like, lose my lunch over that one. And because Jeffress got a save, what, on Friday? Oh, no, he pitched in a tie game in the ninth. Then he pitched in the sixth on Sunday, and Hader got another save on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm still, like, I'm very confident starting Hader in any format.
That's probably the guy. Like, I don't think he's the closer, but he's as significant a part of that group as anybody, and he's obviously the best pitcher of that group. I think by the time they settle on somebody, Knebel will be coming back.
Agreed.
So I'm kind of over it.
If you had to start one Astros reliever, who would it be?
It would be Giles.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Kenley Jansen was good on Saturday and got the save on Sunday, was a little bit shaky, but it seems like he's making progress, Kenley Jansen.
The velocity looked fine in that Sunday outing. Like, he averaged on his cutter what he averaged last year, more or less.
Good. And Jairus Familia had a bad outing, but he's fine. He's been getting a lot of work. All right, let's take a look at the roster trends and the most added players in CBSSports.com leagues. All right, going to be a lot of two-star pitchers on this list. Chad Bettis is a two-star pitcher, and he is the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues, and that seems
bad
like a
call.
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
He's got San Diego at home and Miami on the road. Maybe it's not such a bad idea.
They're good matchups.
Bad Chettis.
I just think this is going to all fall apart sooner than later. And look, Padres score a lot of runs sometimes too.
Will Myers is back.
Actually, yeah, and Christian Villanueva is the number two most added player, and he's 80% owned. So let me actually take a quick little detour from the most added to... Well, within the most added, these trending hitters. Number two on the most added list is Villanueva. Number three is Teoscar Hernandez. He's 58% owned. Villanueva's 80% owned. Andujar, 53% owned. Brandon Belt, 52% owned. Lewis Brinson, 40% owned. Villanueva, Teoscar Hernandez, Andujar, Brandon Belt, Lewis Brinson. Some of them on the most added list. What do you guys think about them? Who's the one that you feel like, oh, we got to go out and get this guy?
Belt probably has the most, like, I'm the most confident in that he's going to be a quality option. He probably doesn't have the highest ceiling of that group, but he's the one I think, if they're all out there, and it'd have to be a pretty shallow league. I think he'd be the one I'm most likely to add. He's certainly the points league choice.
I would be most excited about putting a guy on my bench in Andujar and Teoscar. Teoscar's got some serious playing time concerns, but they've basically said, how can we not play him?
Right.
I mean, what's weird about him is he wasn't a huge power hitter in the minors, but if you just go back to his time with the Blue Jays last year, 8 home runs and 88 at-bats, and he's up to... What, 3 already this year?
Yeah, 3
in just a handful
of
games.
8 games.
Stephen O knew.
Yeah. He did have a very high projection that we had to intervene on. But yeah, he's off to a great start with the power. And I think going into last year's game, his soft contact rate, according to Fangraphs, was 0.0. Obviously a small sample, but that's still pretty cool.
Teoscar Hernandez. Okay, so... Brandon Belt's very interesting because he has homered in 4 straight games all on the road. He's got 6 home games this week. And he's been an 18-homer guy, 17 or 18 homers in 4 of his last 5 seasons. But in 2 of those seasons, he actually hit for a pretty good amount of power, just didn't play that many games. And in those 2 seasons, his batting average was in the 240s, whereas Belt is usually a 280 hitter. Right now, he's got both. Right now, he's hitting 288 and 5 home runs in 17 games.
That it was very interesting what he did last year because it looked like there was some bad luck there on the batted balls. He's normally a very high BABIP guy, and he was a low BABIP guy last year, but the power was awesome. This may be the best of both worlds, and it was hard to hype him in spring training because he was coming back from this severe concussion, and who knows how that was going to affect him. Clearly, it's not affecting him. Mm-hmm. And, he's definitely... We added him in the 16-team for the People League, and that's not the only league I would add him in.
I don't want to poo-poo Brandon Belt. I think he's a very, very good hitter that has really been hurt by where he plays his home games. He's only played 5 games at home this year. He's got 4 of his 5 home runs are on the road. They've already played 12 games on the road. I think he's really good. I don't want to say that I don't think he's good, but I think the same thing that's always happened is probably going to happen.
I got to ask you the guys this, because I created a stir on Twitter yesterday.
Oh,
record-setting 21 pitch at bat for Brandon Belt yesterday took 12 minutes. Is that good baseball viewing or bad baseball viewing?
Good.
It's good?
Undeniably good.
Okay.
Only if happens every so often.
Ton of airtime.
The reason it's good.
And you're just watching a guy make an out, basically.
Well, but the whole time you don't know you're watching him make an out.
Yeah.
Did he homer? Like, he didn't homer on that at bat?
No.
He flew out.
Oh, okay.
He homered later in the game.
Well, that is bad.
I would say the reason it's so good is because it never happens. If it happened
right.
5 times in a game, it would be awful.
And it would probably be different if you didn't know the result, and it would definitely be different if it was a playoff game when there were actual stakes, you know?
Right.
But, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how I feel. I made a joke as if it was bad baseball, and some people loved it, some people hated it, whatever. I'm just curious what you guys...
Yeah, I think
your reaction would be.
The novelty is what made it good. Yeah. All right, other players on the most added list, Bud Norris, we just mentioned he's 54% owned, but beware. Tyson Ross, 52%. Chris Stratton is 55%. Chris Stratton has he's been really good, right? But he's got the Nationals and the Dodgers both at home this week. All right. Look, I'd rather go with Zach Wheeler, personally.
Yep. Yeah, there's a long list of pitchers I'd rather go with.
Chris Stratton was pretty low in my 2-star pitcher rankings, well outside of the group I recommend.
Actually, I think Ian Kennedy, guys, this week, Milwaukee and the White Sox at home. What do you think?
No, thank you.
He was outside of my recommended group, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I just can't get past what the peripherals say about Ian Kennedy, and it's terrifying.
But it's the White Sox, I think, that... You know, that I like, but all right, fine. Avoid him.
Yeah.
Avoid him.
I mean, I said this Friday, like, I feel like we're paying with the 2-star pitchers, we've been paying a little too much attention to how good the matchups are and not enough to how good the pitcher is. Mm-hmm. Like, and maybe that's just philosophically how I approach it, but like, I'm not somebody who super spams the 2-star pitchers. If there may be a guy or two in a league that's worth picking up, but for the most part, I just roll with who I have.
And see, I have multiple points leagues teams, obviously, and about half and half. There's 2 of them where I'm just not interested in really doing this, but there's 2 of them where I pretty much do it every week.
Are you guys starting or sitting Tyler Skaggs this week at Houston and home against the Yankees?
He's in the fringy range. I wouldn't do it in a categories league. I might in a points league, but it's not like if he happens to be how owned is he?
69% Tyler Skaggs.
If he happens to be available, I don't know that I'm dropping anybody I care about for him.
No.
I'm not optimistic for this week for Skaggs. All right, actually there really are a lot of interesting 2-star pitcher options, but also on this most added list. Well, Candelario, should we talk more about him, Scott? He is one of your sleeper hitters. He's 41% owned. Candelario.
Yes, I like the Tigers matchups this week. It's a bunch of righties who he's done almost all of his damage against this year. And this is, after a very slow start, we saw what good Candelario looks like. There's enough power there that with the bat skills, getting on base, not striking out a ton, he can be a pretty useful guy. Third base is deep. Like Andujar's out there, Christian Villanueva, and long-term Candelario's probably the least enticing of them. But if you need a stopgap, a fill-in, maybe you lost Rendon, whatever, especially in a points league where Rendon is most valuable, Candelario's a good fill-in.
Would I be crazy to start Candelario over Miguel Sano this week?
I don't know that you would in a points league.
I think you would.
Be crazy?
I think you'd be crazy.
Roto League, yeah, there's no way I'd do it.
Well, I know Candelario is good, but he is not nearly as good or reliable as SeatGeek. The best way to find tickets, the fastest way, the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. So, sports, concerts, comedy, theater, SeatGeek is my go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, and it needs to be your go-to app as well. Because we are just handing out money. We're just giving you $20. All you gotta do is download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY. And if you use that promo code FANTASY, you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I get so many tweets and emails, I've read some of them on the air. People really love the SeatGeek app. And they use it. They tell me, hey, I went to this game and I had a great time. And thank you, SeatGeek. And I saved $20. So you should do it too. The promo code is FANTASY. SeatGeek searches multiple sites and pulls in the results and grades every ticket based on value. You can immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. And every purchase is fully guaranteed. And one more time, everybody, download that SeatGeek app. I love it. It's awesome. Please use it. And use the promo code FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Promo code's FANTASY. All right, so I asked you, would I be crazy if I started Jamer Candelario over Miguel Sano? You were a little split, but let's play this game. Would I be crazy if I preferred Yu Darvish to Johnny Cueto rest of season?
Oh, good. We're going to talk about Johnny Cueto. I got a lot of tweets about Johnny Cueto this weekend wanting to talk about him.
Well, if you want to talk about him positively, this is kind of an unfair comparison, right? I mean, obviously the answer is Yu Darvish. So you'd be crazy.
Fun fact, if you combine Johnny Cueto's ERA and his whip, it equals one.
Well, that is That's nice. Cool. I think Junior Guerra has a .58 whip. Should we bump him up the rankings too and declare it a win?
Well, has Junior Guerra been a top 12 pitcher for most of his career like Johnny Cueto has?
Yes, he has. We all know that.
Okay, obviously not. Johnny Cueto is awesome. I think Yu Darvish is going to be fine.
Okay, so who would you rather
would
have?
Would you be crazy to prefer Cueto to Darvish?
You would not be crazy to prefer Cueto to Darvish.
Would you prefer
Cueto to Darvish?
That was not the question.
Well, I'm asking a different one.
You're not the host.
I'm trying to ask it.
I can't ask you questions.
I'm asking it. Who would you rather have?
I think I'd still rather have Darvish. Like, I had Darvish as a top 12 pitcher at the start of the year. I had Cueto around 30 or 35. Cueto's top 20 now.
He may be top 20 now. I don't know that I disagree. He's, you know, his velocity's definitely down from a couple years ago, but he's such a goofy pitcher. Like, the way he alters his delivery every time, I don't know. It seems to be working. He's obviously getting strikeouts, and yeah, I think he'll be okay.
I think either way on that debate, you could make a case for it. I'm getting a little bit concerned about Darvish's walks.
I'm getting a little concerned about his mentality, because it seems like there's this thing where one tiny hiccup turns into a horrible inning. And I've been reading about it, and they've been talking about it, and it's just like, it seems correctable, but maybe he's just got a confidence issue right now. But I didn't expect him to be good. I sat him at Colorado. I really don't care about this last start.
Right. And like, you look, he's almost a 32-year-old pitcher. He's got a career 76% strand rate, which is pretty good. I don't think he suddenly has a problem pitching out of the stretch or pitching with runners on base. He'll be fine.
All right. Am I crazy if I wanted to buy low on Miguel Sano?
It's not crazy.
Not at all.
What is a buy low offer for Miguel Sano? I think that's what I'd struggle with. There's a chance he's just not good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always a tough call, but I got nothing right now. I got nothing. I wouldn't trade Johnny Cueto for him.
Of like a 40 homer guy with a pretty good OBP.
Who would you rather have?
Probably not.
Mitch Haniger or Miguel Sano?
I would rather have Mitchard Haniger.
Yeah, I'd say Haniger too. He's at a much much more shallow position.
Mitchard Haniger, that was good. am I crazy for wanting to pick up Lucas Giolito, 59% owned?
No. I think dropping Giolito is the appropriate response by now. But I say that knowing there's a very good chance at some point this season he'll have a stretch of dominant starts where we look and realize, hey, he's throwing his curveball more. I wonder why he wasn't doing that all along. I just have no idea when that's going to happen, and there's way too many other interesting pitchers out there to waste time on it.
My goodness, has Lucas Giolito been bad? And, yeah, we'll end that segment there. Let's talk about more pitchers and hitters to add. In deep leagues, CJ Crone, Jorge Soler, Joey Wendell, Albert Almora, all owned in less than 20% of leagues. Crone, Soler, Wendell, and Almora. How do you guys like them?
Crone and Soler both are interesting in deep five outfielder leagues.
I mean, Soler is actually quite interesting. He's got 11 walks to 15 strikeouts. He has a 7-game hitting streak, and he has 6 walks in his last 3 games.
Everything but the power has been there for Soler, and the one thing we didn't have any doubt about was the power.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even notice that was going on with his plate discipline, so that's very interesting.
Joey Crone. Wendell, 4%. Oh, sorry, Scott. Any interest in Wendell?
No. Okay. No, it's not even... He doesn't have power. He doesn't have speed. He doesn't play every day.
Okay. Do you want to say something about Crone?
Oh, I just like his plate discipline's awful, so I'm not... It would have... Like, what kind of league are you hurting for a first base option? That's where I'd go after Crone. It's got to be a pretty deep league, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. And can I just tell you about the greatest thing I discovered in Las Vegas? It was actually on the flight back. Oh, my God. The show, Trial and Error. Have you ever seen it?
I've never heard of it.
Nope, never
I had never heard of it either. It is the new Arrested Development. It is so funny. I have seen 4 episodes. Everybody, watch Trial and Error tonight. Right now. Stop listening to the podcast and watch Trial and Error. All right, pitchers. Are you ready to consider the idea of starting to think about dropping the following pitchers? Ready to consider the idea of starting to think about dropping the following pitchers? Sonny Gray. Rolls off the tongue.
Ready to think, like, if you're putting that many safeguards in there, I guess sure. I'm sure. What is it again? How do you phrase it again?
Ready to consider the idea of starting to think about dropping Sonny Gray.
I'm ready to consider starting to think about the idea of dropping Sonny Gray, but I'm not quite to the point where I'm starting to consider blah, 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 blah.
As a noted Sonny Gray hater, I will say Sonny Gray should not be 100% owned.
Oh, he isn't. He's 93% owned.
Well, no pitcher is 100%
that's
owned.
That's a little too high. Yeah. I think he should be more like 89%. I don't think he should be owned in an 8-team league. I don't think he should. I think he's droppable in a 10-team league for the right option.
Is he also a buy low?
I kind of feel like buying low on Sonny Gray is finding him on the waiver wire.
I think one thing to remember with Sonny Gray, and look, I'm very disappointed, and I expected better, and I'm sad. He was awful at the start of last year, too, and obviously figured it out.
Yeah.
He was also awful in 2016.
Yes.
10 starts, but he had a 4.84 ERA last year, and then he was very good after that.
Yep.
17 starts, his final 17 starts, he had a 2.84 ERA and not a strikeout per inning, but 95 strikeouts and 104 and two-thirds.
He has been unlucky, but he's also been bad. And when you're unlucky and bad at the same time, you have an 8.27 ERA.
I guess, like, because walks have been a big problem for him, right? And they were been for Darvish, and there's another big pitcher I'm forgetting. But we've talked about walk issues for pitchers here in the early go. Like, for the most part, unless a pitcher has a history of just being a horrible walk guy, I feel like those get figured out.
I agree with that part. I think the one thing that's kind of being masked here, and I'll get a little bit Chris Towers with the K per nine versus K percentage. He's got an 8.27 K per nine, which looks fine for Sonny Gray. In fact, a little better than his career average. But that's largely because he's facing so many batters each inning. Mm-hmm. His K percentage is 17.4%. And that is the lowest mark of his career.
Yep. All right, so the rest of this list is Luis Castillo, John Gray, Danny Duffy, Marcus Stroman, and Felix Hernandez. And Hernandez is the most droppable. I don't know why he's 84% owned. Stop owning him.
And Duffy is in that, he should not be owned in an 8-team league. He's droppable in a 10-team league. And I could understand if you dropped him in a 12-team league.
Yeah, and I just want to say, like, Felix, I'm not saying don't own Felix Hernandez in any leagues, but 84% is obviously too high.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's good anymore. I have more hope for Duffy, but I mean, if you're talking 18, 10 team leagues, I could understand dropping him also. But his velocity was actually back in this start, as bad as it was, and he was starting on 3 days rest. And
yes, he was.
Yeah.
And you called him a buy low, and I totally agreed, Danny Duffy, last week, before this start.
So just to be clear, last week we called Sean Manaea a sell high and Danny Duffy a buy low. Looking forward to the segment this week.
I mean, the thing is, you can sell even higher on Mania now and buy even lower on Danny Duffy now. Like
we got a lot of tweets, or I did at least, about I sold Mania for this guy. Oh no. Yeah. One of them was Jose Quintana. I'd do that right now.
That's good.
So
that's exact. Like, I feel like you should sell Sean Mania. If you're going, the way to sell high on Mania is to sell him on that level, a Quintana or a Paxton or an Aaron Nola. Not saying you trade him straight up for those guys, though that would be fine. But whatever you'd expect to get for those guys, that's what you should expect to get for Mania.
I wonder, though, Scott, if you would take Mania for Sonny Gray or Luis Castillo.
It's a good question. I think I would take him for Sonny Gray. I don't think I would for Castillo.
Wait, well, I'm confused. So rank Castillo, Mania, Gray.
I'll go Castillo, Mania, Gray.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. So skipping around, of course, we never have time for everything. We'll go to the fringy guys, people that, you know, pitchers that our fantasy owners can actually pick up. So part one, fringy starting pitchers. Jordan Montgomery, this is 65 to 79% owned. Jordan Montgomery, Ivan Nova, Hyunjin Ryu, Nick Pivetta, Ronaldo Lopez. Who's your favorite there? Montgomery, Nova, Ryu, Pivetta, Ronaldo.
Pivetta.
Yeah.
Then Ronaldo.
No. Ronaldo, we haven't talked about Ronaldo's walks, but they've been high.
Very high. He had a stomach issue yesterday, and he walked 4 in 5 innings. But it's all year. 15 walks, 23 strikeouts, and 24 innings.
Yeah, that's bad. And it's not like he's getting this crazy high strikeout total to compensate for it. So I still have major doubts about Lopez. He'd probably be third of this group for me.
Behind who? Pivetta?
Pivetta and Ryu.
Oh, Ryu, right. Okay, we also have Julio Teheran, Lance Lynn, Sean Newcomb, Marco Estrada and Michael Wacha, Julio Teheran, Lance Lynn, Sean Newcomb, Estrada, and Wacha. They're all 65 to 79% owned.
Newcomb's the only one I'm interested in or excited about, and he should be in the first group.
I'm fine owning Lance Lynn at the level he's owned now. I think better times are ahead. You can understand a rocky start given his, you know, he didn't sign with the team till what, mid-March? Mm-hmm. I think he'll be okay.
I dropped Lynn for Lopez this morning, actually.
That's fine.
Yep.
They're both in the same range. Lopez probably a little more upside.
Fringy starting pitchers part two, 50 to 64% owned. Giolito, Miles Michaelis, Tyson Ross.
It surprises me Miles Michaelis isn't like 85, 90% owned at this point because he has been very solid and in a way that I feel like has gotten a lot of hype. He hasn't been as big of a bat misser as we like to see, but one thing we didn't talk about much this spring is just how good of a control pitcher he is. He's walked 2 all season, and you look at what he was doing in Japan, same thing. So you get a guy who throws 97, 98 with a eye-popping curveball, and he doesn't walk anybody. I think that's going to lead to good things.
Really interesting. He started the season with 2 games against the Brewers, and neither of them went particularly well. Then he pitched 2 games against the Reds, and both of them went very well. So right. I was a doubter of Michaelis before the year. I haven't totally bought in, but I do think he's underowned.
Do you like him better than Tyson Ross?
I do.
Yes.
Do you like Miles Michaelis better than Nick Pivetta, Hyunjin Ryu?
I do, yeah.
I do. I don't like him as much as Newcomb.
Okay. Fringy starting pitchers part 3, 30 to 49% owned. Cashner, Liriano, Chacin, Mike Minor, and then I put Yoli Chacin in again. So Chacin twice. You have 2 chances to get him. Cashner.
I'll pass both times.
Okay. Yeah,
no, thank you. Minor is the only one that I'm really.
That's stunning, especially now that we're going through the process of seeing how owned all these pitchers are, that he's only 44% owned. He's had 1 bad start. I think he's only had 1 quality start, but it's been an innings thing.
Yeah. They could manage Mike Minor's workload a little bit this year. I don't know how he's probably not going to pitch on 4 days rest very often, but he's still, you know, pitch enough. Deep leagues owned in less than 30% of leagues. Junior Guerra, Yanni Chirinos, Caleb Smith, big game for Caleb Smith, 10 strikeouts at the Brewers. Bartolo Colon, Ben Lively, Kyle Gibson, Jason Hamill, Matt Cook, Homer Bailey, Mike Fiers.
Yanni is the only Sparp, right, on this list? He's the only one I'm really interested in.
I am sad that I was not firm in my dismissal of Yanni Chirinos, because it seems like the moment I said, yeah, he might be okay on a waiver wire video a couple weeks ago, since then it's been all downhill. And I don't see a ton of upside there. Caleb Smith is interesting because he is striking out so many batters, and just a two-pitch pitcher who sits at 93, 94. I guess that's pretty good for a left-hander, but it's not like you watch him pitch, and I'm not really sure how he's getting all these strikeouts, but it's been going on all season, and this was the best yet. So 5%, it certainly needs to be higher than that.
Caleb Smith. I forgot a name.
He probably should be the 40% owned pitcher, while Mike Minor's more like 75.
Well, 40%?
Yeah.
I mean, he's also walking everybody. He's got 15 walks, 32 strikeouts, and 21 and two-thirds. 5.82 ERA.
Okay, but think about what 40% means.
It's
pretty low. We're probably talking 16 teams and deeper.
40%?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, we don't
40%?
Have 40% of our leagues are 16 teams or deeper? I don't think that's true at all.
I think, 15 or deeper?
No.
No? Keep going. Maybe 14. Maybe 14.
I mean, you look at the players who are owned in 40% or less, there aren't many. Like, who we ever talk about on the show. Like, it's most of the majority of the players are like 80% and up.
There are very few people who are owned in fewer than 40% of leagues that are like really good.
Exactly.
You know, so when you get an opportunity, you gotta take a chance. Okay, so we didn't know at the time that Joey Lucchesi was gonna be a guy who's owned in more than 80% of leagues. He at one point was owned in like 2% of leagues. So maybe you take a shot. I do see some appeal in Caleb Smith. 40-10 a little high. But there's another guy that I forgot to mention, Daniel Mangdon. Now, he faced the Red Sox without Mookie Betts, without Hanley Ramirez, without Eduardo Nunez, but he was very good against them, and he's now 20% owned, Daniel Mangdon.
Yeah, he's probably in that Caleb Smith territory where I don't really think he's going to be a viable mixed league option, but I at least see the possibility of it.
All right, are you guys ready for some emails to finish our show?
Sure.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure you're ready. Would you rather have, this is from Taylor from Chapel Hill. How do you rank Fulmer, Lucchesi, Ross, Flaherty, and
Bueller?
There it is.
Bueller.
Took a little while. Sorry.
Bueller. Yeah.
Okay, so again, it's Fulmer. I'm not going to make you rank all of them. Give me your top three. Fulmer, Lucchesi, Tyson Ross, Flaherty, Walker Bueller.
Lucchesi, Fulmer, and I'm gonna say Tyson Ross.
I'll go Lucchesi, Flaherty, Fulmer, and I will also say that if it was just for a 1 week thing, Bueller would be number one.
All right. This is an interesting. Scott, are you on the show tomorrow?
No.
We have a question about whether.
Do you want me to be?
Well, Mike wants to know if we're ready to admit our error of our preseason ways with our starting pitcher over evaluation. I'm not ready to admit that, by the way. In fact, I'm getting so many trade offers. People want my pitchers because their pitching sucks.
It's very hard to acquire pitching.
And I don't know. I was able to trade a guy that still hasn't gotten off the DL yet for Johnny Cueto.
Adam Eaton, yes. Who only was like the best hitter in baseball while he was healthy. What an idiot I am for trading for Adam Eaton.
Yeah.
There it is. There it is.
I mean, the big four have been awesome. So obviously that's gone about as we'd hoped. Have some of the ones in the next tier not gotten off to such great starts? Yeah, but that was expected.
All right, real quick here. From Cameron. We already talked about this one. You traded Minaya for Quintana. That's not bad. From Daniel. Someone dropped Domingo Santana in my categories league. Should I drop Dansby Swanson, Aaron Hicks, Moncada, or Michaelis for Domingo Santana?
I'd rather have Santana than Swanson.
It's hard to know exactly what your needs are at the middle infield spots. Hicks would be fine to drop for him too.
Chris in Marathon, New York. Grade the trade in a 20 team dynasty categories league. Ooh. Give up Swanson and Carlos Gomez. Get Aaron Altair and Reynaldo Lopez.
A minus.
It sounds fine. I'll say B.
From Chris D. Joey Lucchesi versus the Mets or Garrett Richards versus the Yankees this week?
Garrett Richards was really good this weekend, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He was, but I'll take Lucchesi.
Far and away the best start. I agree. Lucchesi.
Scott from Homer Glen. Marcus Stroman was dropped in my 14-team roto league. I have the number one waiver priority. Should I pick up Marcus Stroman, 14-team roto?
Yeah,
you should, but man, he's been bad.
Sean from a town in New York. Would you drop Lucchesi and or Eduardo Rodriguez for Jack Flaherty and or Walker Buehler?
I wouldn't.
I don't think I would either.
I mean, I want those young guys.
Bueller.
But I just feel like that's too high of a threshold.
I hope you mark Bueller. The tape.
What'd you say?
Bueller.
Here.
Bueller.
Oh, this is great. What a great scene. Okay, thank you, guys. thank you, Ferris and Ben Stein. And we're back tomorrow with another fun edition of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Hey, Jamaniah.